So Rav Bosa, we're going to start a new Mishnah here on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. If anyone needs my Makomas, have an extra page here. The Mishnah establishes that with regard to Meleches Choresh, there's no minimum shear. And in the past we've reflected on this, that maybe Choresh is not part of Sidur de Pas, because the Harisha does not really culminate in Pas. The Harisha culminates in preparing the ground for planting. And the Mishnah establishes that HaChoresh Kol Shehu is Chayav. Then the Mishnah goes on to mention other toldos, and we're not sure if they're toldos of Meleches Choresh or perhaps toldos of Meleches Zorea. We have the case of Menakesh. Menakesh is Tolesh Asovim Roim Mitoch Asovim Tovim. Menakesh means that he takes out the weeds and that grass that are, you know, those that are detrimental to the process of production. And there's a machlokes at the beginning of Moed Katan as to whether Menakesh is a told of Choresh, whether it's a told of Zorea. If you assume it's a told of Zorea, then the malach is being done on that which is growing. And if the Mishnah is telling us that the din of Kol Shehu that applies to Choresh applies to Menakesh as well, then we have a fascinating conclusion here, that even Meleches Zorea would apply in a Kol Shehu without a shear of Kegrogeres, which means that according to our logical approach, even Zorea is not considered Sidur de Pas. One could have argued, and that's the sheet of Rashi apparently, Rashi back in the Mishnah Daf Ayin Gimel, that in the case of Zorea you need a Grogeres, you need a minimum shear, and the reason for that is because the Zera itself will ultimately become the kernels, so that Chefza will be baked as a bread, as far as Sidur de Pas, and when you get to Sidur de Pas you need a shear of Grogeres. But if we assume that Menakesh, and that's how the Rambam paskins, is a told of Choresh, so that's not a proof necessarily that Meleches Zorea is Bekol Shehu. The Rambam in fact paskins that both Choresh and Zorea is Chayav Bekol Shehu. Then we have other cases mentioned in the Mishnah, and that is the case of Mekarsem, which is called Kotzeitz Anofim Yeveshim Min HaIlon. This is a kind of a pruning process, which is called Mekarsim, in which he breaks off those branches that are dry already, and they are preventing the tree from reaching its maximum capacity of production. So this would be already Meleches Notea, which Notea, as we said, is either a Ko'av of Zorea, or it's a told of Zorea. Reminding you that Rabbeinu Chananel, back on Daf Ayin Gimel, I think we mentioned it in the past, is of the opinion that Notea is a tolda. Rashi says that Notea is an av, and the difference, as we explained, not for today, but just to give you the review in a nutshell, is that Rabbeinu Chananel understands that Zeroim and Ilonos are two different entities, and two Heftzes generate an av and a tolda. You know, it's in order to create another av, you have to have the same object. And in the case of Notea, since Notea is Bilonos and not Bizroim, therefore it's a tolda. On the other hand, the other Rishonim hold that Notea, the Rambam and others hold that Notea is an av malacha, because Mali, Rashi and the Rambam, because Mali, Bizroim, Mali, Bilonos. It's the same Tzuras HaMalacha, it's the same Tachlis HaMalacha, and therefore it's an Av. And then we get to Mizareit. Mizareit is very similar to Mekarsem. Kotzeitz Anofim Lachim Chadoshim Mira Ilon. Now he's cutting off branches from the tree, which are still moist, chadoshim, they're pretty new, they've just been produced, but once again they are in a sense sapping the tree of its moisture, and therefore preventing it from reaching its full capacity. And in all these cases of Menakesh, Makaris, and Mezareid, he's chayav a kolshu. And whether he's chayav again mishum choresh or for zoreah, both choresh and zoreah b'kolshu, clearly in the cases of Makaris and Mezareid, he's chayav mishum meleches noteah. If noteah is an av or a tolda, that's a secondary issue, but primarily we're talking about meleches zoreah. And you can add, or shall we say, enhance the productivity of whatever's growing, in this case, ilonos, by doing the ktsitsas anofim, whether it's anofim yaveshim in the case of makarsim, anofim lachim in the case of mezarid, and in all these cases, yochayev mishum zorea, and this would certainly indicate that yochayev for zria even bekolshim. Rashi Shita, that Zareah requires a grogeres, is very difficult in the light of this Mishnah. Now, the Gemara is going to ask the following question. You can tell me that you're chayef for choresh kol shehu if there's some significance to that harisha, but what exactly is significant? You know, usually when you hoe the ground, you know, you rake the field, you go through furrows, and you facilitate zriya, you know, for a whole row. So just skipping to the Gemara for a minute, lemai chazi harisha kolshi. What is it worth? Well, what exactly does he accomplish? And the Gemara answers chazi lebizra dekara. Right, kara is some sort of a gourd. What do you call it?
Pumpkin.
Yeah, in Hebrew, dalat. In English, it's a pumpkin or a gourd of some sort, and it has a very small seed. And all you need is a little bit of a raking. Excuse me. And now you can plant this seed, and it's going to grow a full pumpkin. And again, forget about what you know about pumpkins about this time of the year. That's not relevant to us. Okay. Even Thanksgiving is hardly relevant for those who are from that country. Tarnagol Hodu. Hodu Hashem Kito. Okay. The Kavase Gabi Mishkan. Oh. So the Gemara assumes, and we've had discussions like this in the past, that it's not enough to convince me that this Moloch is meaningful even in a state of kosher. I got to go back to the Mishkan because you're creating a whole new Chashivus of a Moloch, and I have to find somewhere in the Mishkan where they did this harisha kol shehi. And the Gemara answers, the kavase gabi mishkan shekein roi lekelach echad shel samimon. You remember, of course, that they had to dye the rios, the curtains in the mishkan, and they needed to plant a certain herb, a certain samimon, in order to create this dye. And you can take a small seed, kelach echad of samamonim, and as long as you do a harisha kolshi, that's enough. Then the Gemara asks on menakesh, mekarsem, and mezari, they're also yechai for a kolshi. Tanur Rabbanan and atolish olshin. Olshin is a kind of a grass that grows, and it's fit for animal fodder. And now he's doing a tlisha. So what malacha rabos are we talking about in this brisa? Not meleches Zriya or Natiya, not Meleches Harisha, he's being Tolish, but rather Meleches Kotzer. Correct, we're talking about Meleches Kotzer in this Brisa. So it's very interesting. The Mishnah itself is dedicated to Meleches Notea and to Meleches Harisha. The Brisa quoted in the Gemara is dedicated to Meleches Ktsira. And when you cut these olshin, you have for yourself animal fodder, correct? And that's called meleches kotzer. Then the Brice has a case of mezareid zrodim. Mezareid zrodim are konim, some sort of a reed. Shebeodom rachim, as long as they are soft, you can feed them to a human being. They're actually, maybe the human being, I don't know, maybe sucks out the moisture, but after it becomes very hard, then it's no longer consumable, it's no longer fit for human consumption, but it's fit for animal consumption. And when they dry this kane, they designate it as animal food, and therefore yiskayim mishum kotzer. But now, the Braisa wants to make a distinction as far as the shear is concerned. In other words, it could be that a human being could consume a certain shear and an animal has to consume a different shear. If the purpose is for eating, and it seems like the rice is not differentiating between human eating or animal eating, is kigrogeris. The shear of all pas, of all meleches sidur, the pas is always going to be a grogeris. Less than a grogeris is not called a significant shear. And here we have to raise, again, not now, but just keep it in mind, the fundamental question of chatzi shear. Let's say he takes a half a grogeris, which is not really enough for a feeding, but nevertheless it is edible. Do we apply the principle of chatzi shear asim in a Torah or not? Anybody remember that? That's a machlokus between Rashi and the Rashbam. Rashbam says the chatzi shear is not meleches machsheves, and therefore the principle of chatzi shear osam in the Torah doesn't apply on Shabbos. Rashi applies right here. No, I'm sorry, not right here. I'm talking about Klal Gadol. But right here in Klal Gadol, Rashi applies the principle of chatzi shear osam in the Torah on Shabbos. That's going to be in the sugya of Borer and the sugya of Afia. At the beginning of the mission of the Malachas in Klal Gadol, the Imla Behema. Oh, at this point, the word Achila, which requires a Gogeres, is specifically and singularly dedicated to Achilas Adam. And how do I know this? The Brice goes on to say that there's a different shear with regard to animal food. So let's say, for example, these reeds, these rudin, became very dry. So dry that you can't eat them. Human being can't consume them. Who could consume them? Give it to the camels, right? Feed the animals. So in such a case, you change the shear. I'm not sure if it means that you need a larger shear or you need a smaller shear. My impression is you need a larger shear because the animals have big mouths. And he says, im lebehema, if he's only taking off these reeds for animal fodder, they're not roi lachilas adam, is kimelo pi hagdi. Again, we could have the same debate Gedalia and I had yesterday, whether we're talking about the kavanas adam or we're talking in objective terms inherently. When he says that if it's roi lebehema, then the shear changes, I don't know what exactly this brisa means. Does it mean that the smaller shear, the minimum shear, lechumra, is going to ply as long as it's wet, as long as it's moist, and it's royal achilas adam? I don't care if he has no intention of eating it. His intention was to feed it to an animal. Or do we say no? It depends on what his intention was. His kavana will determine the shear. If his kavana is to feed it for an animal, he needs the shear of kimoli piagdi. And he's not going to be chayav for the shear of kigrogeris. Perhaps this would depend upon the machlokes between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda about whether his particular subjective tzorech will determine the malacha. That's Rav Shimon. Rav Yehuda says, I don't care about his tzorech, and therefore becomes objective. If it's royal achilas adam, he's going to be chayav for grogeris. V'im, what happens if these reeds are not even edible for an animal? And the reason he's cutting it off is because he can use it as firewood, lahasek, is kedei levashel beitz hakala. He needs a small amount, a small volume, in order to create a small fire. And a small fire is enough to cook something that's called kaliyat bishul. Are you familiar with that term? Which parak in Masechta Shabbos would I have to learn in order to understand kaliyat bishul? Something that you can cook in a second, in a cliché. Kira, that's Parakira. So for that you have to come at 9:30. Just a little marketing there. In any event, so that's called Kidei Levashel Beitz Hakala. You don't need a great, tremendous fire. In fact, it's unbelievable. In the case of an egg, You're chayav for bishul of an egg, even if it didn't reach kemaichel ben josai, which is the shear of bishul for all other foodstuffs. The eggs are the exception to the rule. As soon as it starts what's called gilgul abetza, that's a mishnah in the second, in the third parak, that's already considered roy for some people to eat, and therefore he's chayav mishum leches bishul. And he has to bring a karma chatas if he did it b'shogeg, even though it didn't reach kemaichel ben josai, which is, according to many mishnayim, half of the bishul. So that's interesting. The case of a beitza becomes now the shear. Now you might ask, well, why should the shear of zrodim be determined by something on the totem pole of foodstuff, which is the least, the most minimal amount? Why are we going l'chumra here, and we're saying that you can cook an egg, which is kedei gilgul habeitza, with such a small minimal fire? The Gemara says that you can even take the egg, it's actually a mishnah, and place it up against the outside of a mecham. You have some sort of an urn or a percolator that's hot, and the metal, the copper of this mecham is so hot that you can put an egg on the side, and an egg will cook. No other foodstuff will cook, but yechayev d'oraisa for such a thing. And yet, oddly enough, the shear is determined by the Beit Zakala. Why is it determined by the Beit Zakala? So we're going to come back to this question, B'li Neder, as we go along. Now we have a fourth situation where the reeds have reached a state in which you can't do anything with them. You can't even use them for firewood. The Imli Yapos Esakarka, now we're changing our whole malacha. We're shifting from Kotzer to which malacha? To Zriya, or perhaps to Harisha. It depends on a machlokas between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. So im liapos is a karka, now you're improving the karka, making it more, what was the word, arable? Did I finally get that word? I don't know. Is chayav, now is chayav for what? For meleches Harisha. And now if he's chayav for leches harisha, is a radical change, because ktsira is certainly part and parcel of sidur the pas, and you have a minimum shear, less than which you're not chayav. Where that shear is going to be, kigro geres, kemoli piagin, kidei levashel beit zakala, I don't know. It all depends upon what state of the state of being the reeds are in, but certainly you need a shear. That's all fine and dandy when we're talking about meleches Kotzer, but now we're shifting over to Meleches Harisha, because the reeds are not worthy, they're not suitable for anything, so it's not Ktsira, you're not taking anything away, but rather you are improving and enhancing the capacity of the karka to produce, and in such a case, you're chayav for kol shehu. So it's very interesting that once you shift from Meleches Ktsira to Meleches Harisha, you have a tremendous chumrah, and all the dinim, the various intricate details about how much, what's the minimum amount of shear for ktsira, that all falls by the wayside, and you're chayav for a kolshe.
Just to make sure I understand, what you took is ra'i. It's not a matter of whether or not it's right. It's a matter of what your intent was. Everything you took was
okay. Ra'i. So that's going to be the sugya that we're about to learn now. So again, Gedaliola Shitaso, this is Gedaliola Shitaso, he believes that everything here depends, not the way we wanted to say it yesterday in the Rambam, it's a shame Maisa again, I don't know who was here yesterday, who wasn't, but rather depends upon your interest. I'm very hesitant to go that path because the Rambam, who's my good buddy, happens to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that Malach Hashem and Tzvich Leguf is chayav, as we're going to see it inside in a minute. And therefore it seems like, according to Rabbi Yehuda, forget about what his intention is. And that's going to be a complicated sugya here, and we're going to have to figure out what's Dovr Sheinu Miskavei and what's Malach Hashem and Tzvich Legufa. That's hopefully, we'll get some clarity by the end of today, by Mincha time of today. So the Gemara immediately asks the following question. You're telling me that you're only chayav for a kol shehu in the case of liyapos es hakarka. But in the first cases where it was roi lachila, it was roi lachilas adam, roi lachilas kelev, or behema, it was roi, I should say, lachilas gedi, it was roi lehesek, then you have to have a shear. And less than a shear, a kol shehu, you're not chayav for. Meaning you're not chayav for meleches harisha. I don't get it. Says the Gemara, otu kulu lo liyavos hakarka ninu. Isn't it really true that in all these levels, these four levels, you're always achieving the fourth level, the low level of Yelapus HaKarka. In the first three levels, you're achieving additional malachas. In other words, why are you telling me that in cases A, B, and C, you're chayef for kotzer and only for kotzer, exclusively kotzer, and you're dropping maleches chorech? I don't get it. The accomplishment here of Tolesh Ulshin or Mezarik Zrodim is always going to be Meleches Choresh. It's always going to have Yipui Karka. And this Rabosai touches perhaps on the question that we've raised in the past: could you be chayev two chatos for two malachos? Could you be chayev for both kotzer and choresh at the same time? Or do we always have to objectify the maisa and say that the maisa malacha is only one particular malacha? There's an ikar malacha, meaning there's an easy answer to the Gemara's question, and that would be that the ikar amalacha is for food or for hesek. There's also an element of yipui karka, but that's the tofel. But maybe what the Gemara thinks is the following: that if he's a good farmer, then he's probably interested not only in feeding his animals, but also in improving the productivity of the karka. So when he takes out the zrodim, he realizes that he's gaining two things, and now he has a double kavana. And the Igle Talfa one is of the opinion that even if you have a malacha tfela, it's a secondary malacha, the maisa malacha really is the ikar malacha, but nevertheless, if you have kavana for both the ikar and the tefel, then you chayv shtayu. And the Gemara thinks in this case, he certainly has kavana for yipui karka, even though again, he's collecting all sorts of pieces of zrodim that are very fit, you know, that fit for consumption, but at the same time he wants to improve the karka. Is atu kulu loli apos hakarka ninu? So here we're going to have two different approaches. We're going to have the approach of Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef and the approach of Abaye and Rav. And they're fundamentally different approaches. According to Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, we have to change our understanding of the reality, of the Metzius. What exactly happened over here? Was there Yipui Karka in fact, or was there no Yipui Karka in fact? And Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef are going to have to insist that the Braisa is addressing a situation, at least in the first three cases of the Braisa, where there was no Yipui Karka. How could that be there was no Yipui Karka? Be Adam Shanu. The Braisa setting up the shiur of Tolesh, of Mezarik Zrodim, in a situation where there is no Yipui Karka. We're talking about a marshland. What's another word for a marshland? A swampland? What words can I use to describe an agam? Does anybody have an art scroll?
Swamp.
Sam, how does he calls
swamp.
It a swamp. Okay, Barkshekivanti. Okay. I would probably call it a marshland, but swampland is just as good. Right? And I actually saw a swamp in my life. Down in Florida. Yeah, no, they took us to it's almost like an airplane, you know, it's
an airboat.
Yeah, what's the name of the place we went to? I can't remember right now. Anyway, they take you on this airboat over the swamps. And that's where you see the crocodiles and all those.
They have it in Brooklyn also.
They have it in Brooklyn. Okay, not in Borough Park, I don't think.
Avenue U.
Avenue U. Oh, yeah. When you go towards the, what's it called? What's the name of that highway?
It's the BQE, the belt.
The belt, yeah, right near the belt. Yeah. That's where you see where the Italians sell all the lobsters over there and stuff like that. I don't know if it's still to this day, but that's what it used to be.
Yep.
Okay. So what do we have? We have an agam. In the case of an agam, there's no benefit called yipui karka. Agam is not a place that grows. There are certain kinds of reeds that you'll find in a swamp, and if you take those reeds out, that's called meleches ktsira. So that's Tolesh u'mezarik zrodim be'agam is ein bo mishum yipui karka meleches charisha v'yesh bo mishum meleches ktsira, because if it's fit for consumption or at least for burning, for firewood, you're chayev for meleches kotzer. Abai Omar, Abai says there's no need to enter into this dochak and zetz and assume that this Bryce is talking about the strange case of an agam, afilu tema besode de lava agam. And now we have to approach this Bryce from a different perspective entirely. Kigon de lo komachave. Now it's interesting that the words the lo komachavein conjure up an image of a sugya which has nothing to do with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. What do I mean? Tosis says in a number of places that even though Rabbi Yehuda is machayev in a case of Olach Shen and Tzricha Lagufa, but nevertheless he admits, he confesses to Rav Shimon's position in a Dover Shein Miskav. I'm not getting into the Rabbanans now, but at least on a Doraisa level, there's no violation of a Malacha Doraisa on Shabbos without Kavon. And that's true even according to Rabbi Yehuda. So when Rabbi Yehuda says that Dover Shein Miskav is Asur, what he means is it's awesome in Rabbanah. Never make the mistake, says Tosfos, and assume that Rabbi Yehuda would hold that Yochai v'chatos for a Dover Shein Miskav. And this indicates the fundamental difference between Malacha Shein Tzricha Leguf on the one hand and Dover Shein Miskav. The Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Yud, let me remind you, when it searches for an example of Meleches Machsheves, it gives the example of Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufa LeRabbi Shimon. That according to Rabbi Shimon, if you don't have the Tzricha Legufa, then it's a deficiency, it's a chisaron in Meleches Machsheves. Dover Shein Miskaven is a universal halacha. It is not limited to Shabbos and to Meleches Machsheves. You may recall that we once discussed Misasek, and we were wondering whether Misasek is a p'tur of Meleches Machsheves, is a Shabbos halacha, or whether Misasek is a Kol HaTorah Kula halacha. And we came to the conclusion that there may indeed be two different categories of Misasek. That Misasek on the Kol HaTorah Kula is where you didn't have Kavanah for the Mice at all. But in the case of Shabbos, where there's a requirement of Meleches Machsheves, Misasek might mean that you did have Kavanah for the Mice, but you didn't have Kavanah for the Cheftza. So you thought you were getting, you know, Te'enim Shchoros, and you ended up with Te'enim Levonos. And that itself would make you into a Misasek, you're part of a Karbon in Shabbos, where there's a requirement of Meleches Machsheves. So we have examples of Pture Shabbos and Pture Kol HaTorah Kula. And here we have the contrast, if you will, between Melech HaShein HaTzricha LeGufa on the one hand, and Dover Shein Miskavin on the other hand. Whereas Melech HaShein HaTzricha LeGufa LeRav Shimon is a Ptur of Meleches Machsheves, and that's explicit in the Gemara in Chagiga Daf Yud, which means that in Kol HaTorah Kula, there ain't no such thing as Melech HaShein HaTzricha LeGufa, but in Shabbos there's Halacha of Melech HaShein HaTzricha LeGufa. But there is one p'tur that applies to Shabbos insofar as Shabbos is no different than Kol HaTorah Kula, the universal p'tur, and that's called Dover Shein Miskaven. And therefore Tosus insists that according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if you'll tell me that Rabbi Yehuda asks a Dover Shein Miskaven on Shabbos, that's only Midrabbanan. But Midoraisa, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that Dover Shein Miskaven is mutter. Again, in quotation marks, it's not really mutter, but on a deraisa level, it's mutter. Comes along Abaye, and he says, that's how you have to learn this braisa. This braisa is addressing a case of a Dover Shein Miskaven. And even though, if we objectify his action of Tlisha, of Mizarit Zrodim, we would definitely assume that he's Viyapes Akarka and he's Chayef from Meleches Choresh, but he wasn't Miskavim Lekach. The only problem is going to be what, Rabbi Osai?
Secretion.
Whenever you see Dover Shein Miskavim in Masechta Shabbos, you can guess what the next line is. V'amodir Rav Shimon b'psikresha v'lo yomus. So you can't tell me that you're cutting off the head of the chicken because you want the head of the chicken. You're killing the chicken. And that's the malacha of shechita of netilas neshama. And even if you're not miscavling to it, you're chayev. And psikration means that you're chayev for a davar sheino miscavel. And the Gemara says, oh, Abaye,
according to Yehuda only?
No. According to everybody. The Abaye, the Rav, the average Shavai, Moder, Rav Shimon is going to be Moder, that there's no such thing as Dover Shane of and Psegration of Loyamos. When he cuts off the head of the chicken or the animal, whatever it might be, and it's going to die, then he's Chayev for that Totsah, for that repercussion, because it's Muchach, it's going to have to happen. I don't care if he's telling me he from Heint Bismorgan that he's not miscavling to it. It doesn't matter. He is cutting off the head of a chicken. He's killing the chicken. Here also, in our Brisa, by the Mazarid's Rodim, he is being Miyapis Akarka. And if he's being Miyapis Akarka, and it's a Psikresha, then we're going to be Machayev him for Leches Choresh. Regardless of the fact that he's not miscavling, Lo Tzricha, says the Gemara, you have to add, even according to Abaye and Rava, you have to add an Ukimta, the Ka'ovid bi'ara de Chavri. And this is a little bit it's not satisfactory here, because it would seem that Abaye wanted to avoid the whole swamp situation of Omeris Ba'agam, not Omeris Ba'agam, but Ba'agam Shon. Instead, it's bi'ara de Chavri. Okay, maybe it's a little bit better, I don't know.
But Ara de Chavri is always the solution to understand how you can say Lachashen Tzrich Lo Gufa is Aser, even though it's Einav Eschaven.
Well, wait a minute. You're saying beautiful Lomdus, but I'm not ready for that.
I'm not saying this as Lomdus. I always turn Papa.
No, let's say it this way. Psikresha means that a Dovashen Eschaven is Chai.
Because it can't.
Right. Now, you're right that Moloch Shein Tzrich L'Gufa does come to play here, does come to the fore, but that's a little bit premature. Meaning, okay. We're not ready for that yet.
Okay.
Posh Pshat is that we're not talking about Moloch Shein Tzrich L'Gufa at all. Ki hu zeh.
You're not saying Moloch Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is always built into Enim Skam?
Not at all. Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, on the contrary, is talking about miscavling. Not psikresh. Forget about psikresh, even if it's not a psikresh. It's not a psikresh. It's not a psikresh at all. And yet, he's going to be potur, even if he's miscavling, according to Rav Shimon. Wait a minute. If he's being miscavling, how can he be potur, according to Rav Shimon? The answer is, that's called Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. Our discussion here is not about Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. Our discussion here is about a case where he wasn't miscavving. If he's miscavving, then the only way out, the only solution to be matir, at least on a Doraisa level, is Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. Then I'm forced to stand on the shoulders of Rav Shimon against Rav Yehuda. But if I have a more fundamental chisaron here, that he's not even miscavving for it, then I can avoid, I can circumvent the entire brach, the whole headache of the machlokas between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda about Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, because once I activate the principle of Dover Shein Miskavi, it says Tosis, even Rav Yehuda is on board. And even he would admit that you're potter, because the Dover Shein Miskavi. So Abaye and Rava are on the same turf here. They seem to have discovered gold here. Well, why are you not chayav for Harisha? He wasn't miscavling for Harisha. Frek the Gemara, what do you mean he wasn't miscavling for Harisha? It's a psikresha. He is being miyapa karka. These rodim are depleting the moisture of the karka, and then he got rid of them. The karka is in much better shape.
But it's not miscavling.
What's the chiddush of psikresha, and how does psikresha operate, and why is he chayav in a psikresha even though he's not miskaven? For that you have to be a big lama. You really have to figure that out. That requires hit amkut, real amkus. And maybe we'll get to it today a little bit, but it's basically the Reb Chaim.
Yeah. Why did he get rid of Agam? I mean, Agam was a very good solution.
He doesn't like Agam because he feels you're boxing the Bryce into a very big corner over here. And he's saying that, the Bryce is talking about a case of Agam. Why would the Bryce that's addressing and establishing basic principles in Hilchos Shabbos and fool me into thinking that he's not chayev for Meleches Choresh, and I have to figure out because the Bryce is talking about a case of Agam. No, Abai says, forget it. You don't have to talk about that. You have to ask a different question, and this you must ask the question in Meleches Shabbos. Did he have kavanah? Did he not have kavanah? Because just like in Kol HaTorah Kuli, you have to ask that question. Did he have kavanah? Did he not have kavanah? So too on Shabbos, you have to ask that question. So in Kol HaTorah Kuli, for example, you have the Mochri Ksus, and there's Kelayim in the Begadim, but they just want to transport the Begadim from place to place. And the question is, are they miskaving for what's called Hanas Levisha and violating the Isur Kelayim? And the answer is, lo miskaving. Now again, yesterday, I would have told you that's a sitch. Today, it's a problem. To wear these begadim and not be miskaving for Hanas Levisha today, yesterday was a sitch. The Kosh Baruch was very good to us. He let us finish Shimas Yimei HaMishta, and boom, the rains come down. Great Siyata Nishmaya. Except for the principle of Al Tekabel Tefillas over Drach, but that's a different issue.
Is this similar to what the Aruch is miskaving?
Also, that's what Tosus wants to say. Lo tzricha di ovid bi ara de chavre. He was operating in the field of his friend. So his friend gave him permission. We're not talking about a gazlan. Do me a favor. You have need for these tlusha, for these zrodim. You know, you have your pet goat, and you want to feed him zrodim. Your pet camel. See, get rid of these zrodim. For me, it's kulei revach because I also want to get rid of these zrodim. Just I don't have a camel. You have a camel. You get rid of these zrodim. But Shimon, who's getting rid of this zrodim from Reuven's field, is not at all interested in improving Reuven's field. That's not his kavanah. What motivates him to remove this zrodim? He's interested in this zrodim. He wants to feed his camel. So as far as improving the karka is concerned, he's not interested. Now what does that mean he's not interested? Does that make it into a dover shein miskaven? But it's a psik reisha. Or does it make it into a malacha shein tzricha legufa? So again, if you want to take a look at coming attractions, a preview of coming attractions, look at the two line toast see on the bottom of the page. And he says, makes
sense.
In other words, basically, according to that Tosfos, before we get to the Aruch, again, we're switching the order, the sequence, but before we get to the Aruch, we have no way out of this problem in the Braisa to justify the p'tur of Meleches Choresh on Yibui Karka, if we're only exhausting the road called Dover Shein Miskaven. That road will lead us to nowhere. It's a dead end zone. Why? Because of Psik Reish. So then what did the Gemara gain here by introducing the Ara de Chavre? Zot Tosis, it's a Meleches Shein Tzvich Leguf. Obviously, Tosis is introducing who's Shita now? Rabbi Shimon. You're going to tell me that the author of this price is Rabbi Shimon, that Malach Shein Tzurich Gufa is not Chayav on Shabbos. That's not going to help you for Rabbi Shimon.
For
Rabbi Yehuda. See, the Aruch here has one up it on Tosis. Because if the Aruch could convince us that we can somehow suspend Psik Reisha, we can neutralize the power of Psik Reisha here by introducing Ara de Chavre, then that's great, because then we're back to Dover Shein Miskaven, and that's going to supply us with an answer, even according to who? Rabbi Yehuda. Tosis's approach pushes us into a very narrow opening here that we're going to have to stand on the shoulders of Rabbi Shimon. Now, for Tosis, that's not such a problem, because Tosis actually paskins like Rabbi Shimon all over the place in Masechta Shabbos. But that's going to be a problem for the Rambam. Because the Rambam holds that Malach HaShem Tzrikul HaGuf is Chayev. Let's just read the Rambam very quickly and then we'll see the Shita Sa'aruch. The Rambam says in Perek Aleph, I think it's Halach HaZayin if I remember correctly, Kol HaOsa Malach HaShabbos Afal Pi She'eino tzarech legufa shel molacha chayev alel. So in other words, the Mishnah in Perek Bamemad Likin, which says that you're not chayev for moleches kibui unless you need the pecham. But if you're not interested in the pecham, you know, you just want to put out the light, you know, because you need darkness, or because you want to save yourself the shemen and spare yourself the psila, that's a malach sheni tzrich l'gufi yipatur. That's Reb Shimon. But the Rambam has now the flexibility of saying that kaba asaner b'nei shutzach l'shemen or l'psila kidei shelo ya'abed, kidei shelo yisaref, kidei shelo yibaka. Is in all these cases the Rambam says chayav. He had kavanah for kibui. No, but for what purpose did he want that kibui? Not for the tzricha legufa. The tzricha legufa is for the sake of a pecham, and that he has no need for. So it's a malach shein tzricha legufa. The Rambam says malach shein tzricha legufa is chaya because he passes like who? Like Rabbi Yehud. So we're going to have to see in the light of the Rambam, how is the Rambam going to interpret our sugya here in Habona Daf Kuf Gimel, that the Gemara says you're not chayav for yibui karka malachas choresh because it's arid the chavre? After all, arid the chavre Tosa identifies as malach shein tzricha legufa. The Rambam holds the malach shein tzricha legufa is chayav. So why didn't the Braisa establish a chiyuv malachas choresh in addition to malachas oreah, malachas kotzer, whatever the case might be? So here the Rambam might be able to avail himself of the Shitas Ha'aruch. So let's take a look at the Shitas Ha'aruch. Pirish bi'aruch, the psikresha delo nichale. Oh. Alright, this is something we have to know in our sleep. What is the aruch? The aruch equals psikresha delo nichale. Alright, now I'm not sure what lo nichale means. So let's offer two interpretations of lo nichale. One of them is not going to fit in this Gemara. It'll fit in other Gemaras, but not here. Lo nichale means that it works against his better interest. In other words, psikresha is some sort of psychological assumption that he really has kavon. If you dig deep below the surface, right? Who invented the subconscious mind? Was that Freud, or was it well known before that? Well, Chazal probably knew it, but way before Freud. Guy, I meant it as a scientific term. Yeah. I meant to say, yeah.
Gemara in Brachos.
Which Gemara in Brachos?
Last Perek.
I can't hear you.
Last Perek, about your dreams.
Oh, about dreams. Oh, dream that's subconscious. Okay, that's not what I meant. What I meant, Gedalia, was that sometimes on a surface level, you're thinking X, but on a deeper level, you're thinking something else. This is even when you're awake, not when you're dreaming. The Chazon Ish says that if you're standing Shemot Esrei, then you, by definition, you're aware of God's presence. Otherwise, you're an idiot. Why are you standing there mumbling to yourself? That's the Chazon Ish. Reb Chaim never accepted that. But the Chazon Ish had something called the latent awareness, you know, some sort of subconscious awareness, you know. And the Chazon Ish gave an example. If I'm talking to you, Jeff, I know I'm talking to you. It can't be that I'm talking to you and I don't know I'm talking to you. Now, that's probably correct in the case of my talking to Jeff. Unless I'm talking to you in my sleep, which is also possible. But when you're talking to God, I'm not sure if you're aware of God's presence. You might just be mumbling the words. But thank God for the Chazon Ish, because otherwise most of us, well, I shouldn't project onto you, although the Rambam does say this, most of us would probably have to repeat Shemone Esrei about 10 times before we got it right. Because kol tefillah below kavana, lav tefillah, and kavana, the Rambam says, is oshu omeg lefnei hashchina. So let's accept the Chazon Ish in this case against Reb Chaim, and there is some sort of latent awareness of I'm standing in front of the Almighty. Therefore, my tefillah is a tefillah b'kavod. So what is the Aruch saying? Is he saying some sort of latent awareness, you know, that maybe on different levels you could say if there's a psikresha, he knows it's going to happen. Don't sell me a bill of goods that you're not killing the chicken. When was the last time you cut off the head of a chicken and it survived? You may jump around for a little, let's call it Mepharites, but it's going to die. So therefore you have some sort of psychological kavan. Comes along the Aruch and he says, if you gain something from it, then you could say on a psychological level, on some latent, below the surface level, he wants this Yibui Karka. But if he doesn't gain a thing from it, so again, so there are two ways of learning lo nichle. So for example, if you can open up the daf tzadi hei for a moment, let's see if I have tzadi hei here. This is one of the sources for the Shita Sa'aro, is the Gemara Daf Tzadih. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Daf Ayin He. I said Tzadih. Al, I'll be with you just a second. I just want to open up to Daf Ayin He, make sure I'm on the right page. Yeah. Yeah. What are you saying, Al?
Yeah, that when you say Ara Dafavre, it's Nihale, it's not Nihale.
Oh, so this is going to depend on two definitions of Nihale. So let's see the most extreme definition of Lo Nihale, that what the Arach meant was Lo Nihale, it works against his interest. He's very unhappy with the results. That's one way of interpreting the Arach.
It's not that he's not happy, it's that he's unhappy.
Right. It's not the absence of happiness, the absence of something positive, it's just a negative. You know, this is bad for him.
You know, a hot
button.
If I ask me, why is he cutting off the head of a chicken and hoping that the chicken will survive it? You know, he very much wants the live chicken. This is his favorite pet chicken, but he's just cutting off its head. So for that, you have to see the Gemara Daf Ayin He. I'm sorry, Daf Ayin He.
Yes.
Ayin He Amidah. Yeah, you have such a thing?
75.
Yeah. So this is the famous case of Hatzad Chilozon Vapotza. So he has this Chilozon, and he wants to get the blue dye out of it. Okay, I don't know if it's blue, but Chelis, whatever it is. And therefore, he is puncturing a hole in the Chilozon. And the chilazon has in it dam, you know, blood that I guess brings oxygen to the parts of its body, and it also has a certain blue dye. He's very anxious to get out the blue dye. And now what happens is as he's doing this act of ptsia, you know, as he's invading the privacy of this chilazon and puncturing it to bring out the blood, this blue blood, inadvertently he brings out the red blood as well. And therefore he brings about the death of the chilazon. And the Gemara wants to say, in such a case, he should be chayav for melecha es netilas neshama. So the Gemara says, he's not miskaven. He doesn't have kavana to remove the blood, you know, the life force of the animal. Sound familiar? It's word for word Al Gemara here in Daf Kuf Gimel. So the Gemara answers: Shani Hacha Dekama De Isbe Neshama Tfei Nichole Ki Hechi De Leitzel Sive. You remember this Gemara? I both say this is a whole. This is a whole scientific biology lesson here. I'm not a biologist, so I can't evaluate this Gemara. The Gemara assumes a biological fact here that the blue dye of a I'm going to use the word dye here twice. Once it's spelled D-Y-E and once D-I-E. Don't get confused. That it's better that the animal doesn't die in order to get the dye. So Rashi says that Soliel Tzive Shetei Marius Tzivo Tzlua. Somehow the blue dye that's extracted from a live chilazon is more tzalul, it's more sharp, and how would you translate tzalul? It has a clearer color than if you get it from a dead chilazon. So the Gemara has to answer now the question of segregation. The Gemara is not answering that the animal is going to survive this process. The Gemara is answering that he's not miskaven to kill the chilazon.
So here's it's going to die eventually.
It's definitely going to die, but it's going to die without his clapping his hands. He's not very happy about the death of the chilazon.
He'll actually be booing.
Yeah, he's rooting for the life of the chilazon as he's removing the dye, even though inadvertently and unquestionably he's removing the lifeblood. But it doesn't matter. Despite the psikresha, he's not interested. He's not interested in the death of the animal. It's not like the case of someone who cuts off the head of an animal. He can't tell me he's not interested in the death of the animal. He's cutting off its head. But here, he's busy trying to remove one liquid, you know, substance of inside this chilazon, and he at the same time he removes a different liquid substance. He removes the dam. He's killing the chilazon. He would only wish if he could make a miracle that the chilazon would stay alive, because the dye is that much more successful and worthful if he keeps it alive. So this becomes the paradigm of the Aruch's Dovr She'eino Miskaveh B'Psik Reisha V'lo Nichale. But Rashi clearly indicates that what's the Lo Nichale here? What's the Lo Nichale? How do you translate Lo Nichale, Rav Osai?
He doesn't die.
It's against his will. Do you follow? The Netilas Neshome, it works against his will. The Gemara, Rashi says in the Havami, the Gemara, V'chimodah Rav Shimon, V'midi D'lo Ichbasle. When does Rav Shimon say that, you know what, P'sik Reisha removes Dovr She'eino Miskaveh? That's only Lo Ichbasle. I Misrami? I Lo Misrami. I added those words. I Misrami or I Lo Misrami. Hello, what? He doesn't have Kavana. So P'sik Reisha says if he doesn't care about the result, we'll consider it as if it's a Dovr She'eino Miskaveh. But if he's not a Lo Ichbasle, but rather Lo Nichale in the positive sense, he doesn't want it, because he needs desperately that the chilazon stay alive as long as possible, then it becomes a Dovr She'eino Miskaveh. So again, if I only have the sugya on Daf Ayin Hey of Potzea Chilazon as the source for the Aruch, for Rav Nosson Bal Aruch, then I would assume he means that a P'sik Reisha Lo Nichale is against his better interests. So the Malacha is something that he would avoid at all costs if he only could. But then when I turn to Daf Kuf Gimel, and Tosus attaches the Aruch here to the Sugya of what? Of Mezarei Zradim, in the case of Yipui Karka, Tosus says it's Ara Dechavre, and therefore it's a P'sik Reisha Lo Nichale. Well, that's a different kind of Lo Nichale. I wouldn't say that he loses anything by the fact that the character is improved when he removes the Zradim. Again, maybe it doesn't warm up his bed at night because he doesn't own the karka. Maybe his friend will give him a yashikaya for it. I don't know. Hakaras HaTov. But you can't say that it's Lo Nichale in the positive sense, that it works against his interest. And therefore, this Aruch, the way Tosus quotes it, would mean, what's Lo Nichale? Lo Ichbasle. He doesn't care one way or the other. This is not his benefit. Alan?
Yeah, it seems to me, is the case, when he is totally destroying from his cargo, somebody else, or the fabric, is he doing Bereshus or Shalom Bereshus?
I don't think he's a Goslin.
Well, because first of all, if he's doing Shalom Bereshus, then the fact that it improves the property is good for him. He would rather do that, because as a time of that, when you say you're taking my assumption,
I don't know. I can't answer your question. I would just assume that, number one, he's got permission. The Baal HaSod is telling him, look, you want to feed your goat, you know, take this Zradim and run with it. You know, take as many as you like. The fact that now Shimon, who's being Mazarik Zradim, doesn't improve the karka, improves the karka of what? Of Ruvain? That doesn't interest him. That doesn't motivate him.
The sugya has a very practical nafka mina, because, for example, in our house, we have two sinks. One sink has a drain that actually goes down to the garden. And we debated when we first did this whether or not we can't use it on Shabbos. That one sink we don't use on Shabbos because we get hana from it. But when guests come, can they wash their hands for hamotzi from that sink?
Because it's Avri Dechavre. So they're not interested in Melechas.
It's Lo Nichale.
In Melechas.
I looked it up in the Shmirat Shabbat Kirtata, and it seemed from him that we don't have to tell the guests that they can't wash there. But we do. But we wouldn't have to.
And does he quote this Gemara?
I don't remember. This is a long time ago.
Yeah, but I'm saying he... So let's go through... What I want to accomplish now, at the very least, is to try to go through this Tosas. I might move at the speed of light, but let's just get all the sugyas. He has a velt of sugyas here. And he says the following. Pirish ba'aruch, the psigreshlo, nichle, kagod, the ka'obin, the ara, the chavri, ukagod, the acher, she'eno, oavo. Okay, so... That also touches on the Shmir Shabbos and also on Alan's point from before, that maybe the guy owes him a Hakar Satov because he's a good buddy of his, and that itself makes it Nichole, but the Aruch says that if it's low Nichole, he's not Oavo, he doesn't feel the guy's obliged to him, or he's obliged to him. Well, now we get to the second Sukkah. Hakotzeitz Baheres. This is Sugya in Rabbi Lesser de Milan, I think it's Kuflam and Zion, wherever it is. And there you have Baheres Bimakom Mila. And the Gemara is postulating that if he does, he goes through the Mila, he violates the law of Ktsitsas Baheres. And the Gemara says, he, the father, should not circumcise his son, because then he cannot use the Dover Shana Miskavin head there and say, well, I'm not interested, I'm not motivated by the Ktsitsas Baheres, I'm just doing my bid, my Mila, because he gained something from the fact that now his child is no longer Tomei Bitumas Tsaras. So the Gemara recommends that you give over the Mila to someone else. And if you give over the Mila to someone else, he's interested in the Mila. He doesn't get any benefit from the fact that the Baheres was cut off and you've avoided, circumvented the whole process of Taras HaMetzorah. Wow. Tosus says that if we only had the Aruch Shita here in the Sugya Mezarid Zradim, one could argue that the Aruch is just trying to justify why he doesn't have to bring a Chatas for violating Meleches Charisha. But I'll call upon him, it's also a Chatchila B'Torah Sisa D'Rabbanan. How do we know, from whence we derive, which has tremendous repercussions in Halacha L'Maisa, that the Aruch used Psik Reish Lo Nichole to be Matil L'Chatchila? That we see from the source in the case of Mila B'Tzaras. Because there, the Gemara says, let someone else implement the Mila L'Chatchila. And based on this, Hitir Rabbeinu, I'm not sure who Rabbeinu is, if it's the Aruch himself, or more likely it's one of the Bali Atos, maybe the Ri, Hitir Chavis Shepakaku Bepishton Lahasir Hapkak Velimshok Mimenu Yayin Bishabis Afal Pishi Efshashalo Yischot. So this is very similar to a sugya in Masechta Ksubis on Daf Dalet, excuse me, on Daf Zayin. There the Gemara is talking about a case where he stops up the chavis so the liquid shouldn't flow out, but he needs an opening to remove the liquid. So when he's not taking out the liquid, he needs to stop it up. So he puts some sort of a cloth. When he removes the cloth, and certainly when he puts it back in, some amount of wine, in this case, again, in the Gemara, in Ksuba's talking about beer, but anyway, some amount of wine will be removed. And when you remove the wine that's saturated in the fiber of the cloth, then you violate the Malach of Shechita. And if you'll tell me, well, he's not miskaven, all he's interested in is stomping, you know, closing up this opening, but he's not interested in squeezing and extracting the liquids from the cloth, but it's a psik ratio. So the answer is, it's the Aruch. Why? Kevan de'eno nena b'schut t'schit zos. He gets no benefit whatsoever. Again, here it's what? It's the lo nichole of tzad chilozon, of the sugya lafayin hei, shayayin nofil la'aretz.
He loses wine,
right? Is mut. Adkan the Aruch. So that we have two conclusions here in the Aruch. Number one, that somehow magically Lo Nichole neutralizes Psik Reisha. Number two, that the Aruch went as far as to say is that once you neutralize the Psik Reisha element, then it becomes a Dovah Shein Miskavim, which is not only Potter, but even Mut. V'lo Nichale, excuse me, V'eino Nirale. Why do I mafis mursa lahotzim en alecha hoya osri lav mishum tzara de gufa? Why does the Gemara have to say later on? Later on, actually, in the beginning of the next parak, it says that you're allowed to puncture the boil and remove the pus that's pressing on him. And you're only allowed to do this because it's tzar. He's suffering. Maybe it's a key of owning Shabbos to relieve his suffering. I don't know. Frank Tosis, I don't get it. Even if he's opening up this boil, afal pishe no nene klal bebinyan ha-pesach, v'yeno miskavin klal lebinyan ha-pesach, el in a kiva bi'alma. Here it's a case of psikreishlo nichole. Even if he's opening up a Pesach, but he doesn't gain anything at all from the Pesach, he's only interested in opening the Pesach to get out the Lecha, but he's not creating a Pesach. It's lo nichole. Again, I question this premise of Tosfos. In order to defend the Aruch, I would say the following. The Aruch might wonder about why the Gemara needs Tzara de Gufa and claim that this is a Dovar, this is a Psik Reisha, and it's Nichale. The only way you could be matin this is through Malach Shem Tzrichel Gufa Le Rabbi Shimon, because right now he doesn't need the Pesach, but he certainly gains from the Pesach. Because the Pesach not only allows him to remove the Lecha, but also allows what?
The air
to go in. So I don't think, again, I don't know what Tosis was thinking, but I don't think that this is necessarily a severe kasha, a very harsh kasha on the Aruch. The Aruch is going to say we need Tzara because the only reason that we can be matir here when he benefits from this Pesach, if it's a Psik Reisha, is by applying the principle of Malach Shem Tzrichel Gufa, which means Pata Avol Asur. So we need a way, a mechanism of being matir that Issur D'Rabbanan, and that requires us to introduce the issue of Tzar. V'chein hevi arashba mimachet shal yad lito bo sakot zemukile ba'anichnokim kirav yishim in the Yom Malach Shem Tzrichel Gufa Pata Ale u'mishim Tzar ashori v'ap bishenu nene b'chabura. According to the Aruch, if you're removing a thorn from your body, and inevitably you remove the blood, you're not interested in removing the blood. You want the blood to stay in the body as long as possible. You need every drop of blood you can get. So therefore, it's a psikration lo nichole. Why does the Gemara have to introduce Malach Shem Tzrichel Gufa and Tzar Mishum Tzara lo gozru v'rabbonu? And the Aruch is going to say that if it's Bi'ara de Chavre, then it's a Psikreish lo Nichle and it's Mutal Chatchila. No, that's not what the Gemara has in mind. All the Gemara meant was Bi'ara de Chavre de lo Machayv Chatos. Why not? As we saw in the bottom toast, because of Loch Shen Tzricha Lagufa, Aval Yisur Bi'aika, but for sure there's an Yisur. This is a case of a person who took a nedava for what? For yayin, right? There are different types of nedavas, but one of the types of nedavas you can pledge to bring to the Beis Hamikdash is yayin, and then you take the wine and you do ziluf, and you sprinkle the wine on the mizbeach. The wine gets consumed by the fire, the mizbeach, but at the same time the fire itself becomes partially extinguished, so that now you have a violation of the malach of lo yechabe, the lotas of lo yechabe. So the Gemara says, but he's not miskaving for kibui. He doesn't have any interest in kibui. So the Gemara right away asks, what? Moder Rav Shimon b'psik reisha v'lo yomus. He's doing the ziluf of yayin. There's no question that he's extinguishing the. Again, the Gemara assumes that kibui b'miktsa shmei kibui. That he's partially extinguishing the fire, and that's enough to violate the isur. How can we allow him for that for the sake of his nedava to do this? And the Gemara says that it's a case where it's not a psik reisha. Why is it not a psik reisha? Because he's melzalik betipin dakos. he uses small drops, so he doesn't know that he's going to extinguish the fire. Inami al gabi ha'ivor. He's efshar shlo yichaber ha'ish. But I see it's time for mincha. I wanted to get to the finish line here, but we're getting the flow of it. There are many sugyas that seem to be indicative or a source for the shitas ha'aruch. There are other sugyas that seem to assume that we need to introduce Malach Shem Tzrich L'Guf and some other reason to be matir, and we're not going to apply the principle of the Aruch of Segrei Shlo Nichol. So Malin Eder will try to see if we can sort this all out. And our goal is to defend the Aruch, because we like
things. I think we should do that.
Your sing story.
That would be awesome. It's one of the Avodah. It's one of the
Avodah.
Well, the avod itself means that the fire is supposed to burn the kodesh. Now he's using a liquid. We never found that. So he took a nedava, and now he has to fulfill his nedava. Not p'toras kodesh, but p'toras nedarim. And how could his neder override the isur of lo yechab? The mizbeach was not meant. The marach on the mizbeach was not dedicated for kibui. On the contrary, the Torah says lo yechab. He now took upon himself a neder to do this action and be became a certain mitzvah which he took upon himself that will entail a violation of Allah. How can we allow such a thing? You can ask a question about Esei Dokolosas. That's an interesting question. Yeah, this has nothing to do with Shabbos.
So
this has to do with applying the Aruch Shita of Segrei Shlo Nichol and Kol Darku. Because as we said, Lobos Kavod is a universal principle.
You're not talking about
Shabbos. Not talking about Shabbos.
Oh, okay.
Talking about the Yisrael Lav Alo Yechab, which I think is in Vayikra Perek Vav, if I remember correctly.